The Chinese New Year begins February 19th. It's the year of the sheep. But really, it's the pig that matters in China. More than 500 million pigs are produced and eaten there each year. That's half of the world's pig supply, making China the largest pork producer and consumer on earth. Shefali Sharma is with the Institute for Agriculture and Trade Policy. She's the author of a report on China's pork industry. Shefali, welcome.
Thank you. It's nice to be on.
So why is pork so popular in China?
Pork actually has a big cultural significance in China. It is something that was, you know, eaten and shared during the Chinese New Year. It was not something that was eaten a lot for much of China's history. But after the reform and opening in 1978 that Deng Xiaoping launched, pork was seen kind of as a status, kind of a coming of age and modernization of China. And one of the big projects was to actually ramp up pork production.
And China has a strategy for making sure that it doesn't run out of pork. It's called the National Pork Reserve. How does that work?
The National Pork Reserve is actually more kind of a mechanism to stabilize prices of pork. They started it in around 2007, after in 2006, because there was a massive blue ear disease that killed a lot of pigs and pork prices skyrocketed. And China realized that in order to maintain social stability and to keep people happy, they needed to ensure that pork prices did not reach really high levels so that people could afford it. But at the same time, they weren't so low that farmers would get out of pig farming.
With all this production of pork in China, what has it done to the backyard farmer, the guy who had a couple of pigs on his farm and sold them off maybe at the village market?
For much of China's history, people, you know, every household had maybe a pig or two, and they recycled the kitchen waste, they provided manure for the family, they served as wedding gifts or as something to be eaten during the Chinese New Year. And then when this China's pork miracle took place, you started to see a dramatic shift in this so-called backyard farmer who had to either get out of the pig farming business or scale up. And now you see large companies coming in who are raising hundreds of thousands of pigs. And we've seen a massive, massive drop in this backyard farmer.
Well, speaking of those industrial farms, that reminds me of what we see in the United States, for instance, with the way that chickens are raised. So what is an industrial pig farm like in China?
It's not all that different, to be honest, with how pork and how pig is produced in the U.S. China in 2007, 2008 really tried to scale up, industrialize, standardize the production. And they really thought that industrial pig production, like the way that it's done in the United States, is the way to deal with food safety issues. Mm. But what has happened really is that it's added on to the problems, the same problems that we face in the United States, but magnified because of the scale and the sheer numbers of pigs in China.
Well, and one of the fascinating things is the reach is starting to spread to other countries. China's largest meat producer, Shengwei International, purchased the United States' largest pork producer, Smithfield Foods. We see growers in South America exporting a massive amount of feed to China to support their pork habit. How much of an international issue is this becoming?
It's an enormous international issue. In fact, IATP did four reports, and one of our reports is about China's need for feed. And, you know, what happened in China in terms of its policies at first, you know, they had a grain self-sufficiency idea, and they just in 2014 said, okay, we're going to do away with grain self-sufficiency. So we saw an expansion in China of acreage that went towards corn, all mainly going towards feed. And increasing corn imports. And now they're even decided to import barley and import other grains, as well as investing in land in other countries. And I know that they were trying to buy land in Brazil to be able to control and access the grain themselves rather than having to deal with other multinationals.
And in the process, they're tearing down a lot of rainforest in the Amazon, for instance. So finally, I wonder if you can talk about where we're headed with all this, because at a certain point, there's got to be some risks to perhaps even the global economy if the demand grows.
We actually believe that this demand is not inevitable. I think more and more awareness is taking place in China about food safety, about what it means for this kind of production. In 2010, they did a pollution survey, and they realized that agriculture pollution was even bigger than industrial pollution in China. And one of the biggest causes of this is meat production.
Has the organic movement taken off in China yet the way it has here in the United States?
It's interesting. We got a chance to visit some community-supported agriculture schemes when I was in China. And, of course, they're relatively small. And then there are organic schemes that are purported to be organic, but then don't turn out to be organic. But at the same time, you know, there's now a Beijing organic market that continues to grow. So I see hope. I see alternatives coming up. The social media is so vibrant and active in China. And I think, you know, these kinds of avenues will only help expand these initiatives.
Shefali Sharma from the Institute for Agriculture and Trade Policy talking to us about China's massive appetite for pork. Thanks very much.
Thanks for having me on.